This program is brought to you by Resonance 104.4 FM. If you like what you hear and want to support our work, please make a donation at fundraiser.resonance.fm.
Well-behaved and nice person, but apparently he suffers from intermittent attacks of what amounts to madness and delusions, and he is at this very moment suffering from one of these, and I've received a series of telephonic reports from Spain reporting the situation, and he has actually tried to throw the 80-year-old woman over the balcony of her fourth-floor flat this very day. And I need to get in touch with somebody to report the circumstances so that she may be protected, and it needs action this very night. Can you tell me, please, how I set about it?
You have to ring your own police station.
Presumably that would be London, would it?
Well, where is it you live?
Well, the lady concerned, when in London, lives in Holland Park.
Where do you live?
I live near Windsor. Oh, I see. But surely that's very much at a remove, because a small station like Windsor, which in any case is undermanned, as I know from my local experience here, is not going to be in any condition to find the necessary time to deal with this. Surely this is something that should be dealt with from London direct to Spain.
Oh, it has to be done through your own police station. They will contact Interpol for you.
Well, I must say, I think that's a very unsatisfactory arrangement. Thank you. Good night.
Good evening. Metropolitan Police. Which station are you calling?
Ladbroke Grove, please.
Right, hold on.
Ladbroke Road, is it?
You don't know... Is that the name of the actual police station?
Well, I'm looking a list here, you see, of police stations, and the number I have dialed is shown as being Notting Hill... Ladbroke Road, West 11, 081, and then the number I dialed.
Oh, right. I'll put you through anyway. And what's the nature of your call?
Well, I need to have to be put in contact. Good evening. Is that Notting Hill Police? PC Joyce. PC Joyce, I wonder if you could kindly help me. I need to be put in touch with Interpol because there is an 80-year-old woman, a British subject, who lives in Norland Square and who at the moment is visiting her flat in Spain, where she has as her guest an Englishman, aged 43, who has temporarily gone out of his mind in a dangerous way. He has, earlier today, amongst many other irrational acts, tried to throw the 80-year-old lady over the balcony of her fourth-floor flat, and I'm concerned for her safety. So I think this is presumably a matter for Interpol.
How have you become aware of this?
By telephone.
She's phoned you from?
From CALPE in Spain.
And has she not spoken to the police out there?
Well, she has not, and I can only presume that it's a combination of two factors. One is that she knows the person very well, who normally is a very well-behaved, polite and helpful, nice and reasonable person, but apparently he suffers from periodic fits of this kind. I suppose it's a combination of embarrassment at the thought of involving the police, together with the language problem. She points out that they do not speak English.
Well, if we were to contact Interpol, all they would do is send the local police around.
You see, that may accomplish something. That would at least establish contact between the police and the potential victim. Because as I see it, if the situation remains without police intervention, it is quite possible that during this night she may literally be thrown over the balcony, which he already tried to do earlier in the day. And the only reason he didn't succeed, she screamed and screamed for help and nobody came. She tells me she was able to get hold of a walking stick, and with this she was able to strike his legs, and this had the effect of discouraging him and he let her down. Now, if next time there isn't a walking stick in reach, what then?
Excuse me, can you... Do we we know her exact location? Her exact.
Yes, I have the exact address.
Right. If you just bear with me one moment, then.
Thank you.
Your name, sir?
My name is Captain Seddon, Maurice Seddon, S-E-D-D-O-N. Datchet, D-A-T-C-H-E-T.
Yep.
Cottage.
Yep.
138. Horton, H-O-R-T-O-N for North,
yep.
Road,
yep.
Datchet, County of Royal Berkshire. Telephone number 07-53-54-2242. Mrs. J-O-S-E-P-H-A.
Yep.
Stubbs, S-T-U-B-B-S. She is a British subject. She was born in Germany, and she came from Germany to England since in 1935 and has lived here ever since. Her home address is number 1313.
Yep.
In your, right next to you.
Right. Do you know her date of birth?
I have a note of it somewhere, but I don't offhand. She is 80 years old.
Right.
80.
She's staying where?
She is staying at her flat, which is 4D for dog.
Yep.
Edificio. Do you know any Spanish or not?
I'm afraid not.
Sir. Right. E, easy. D, dog.
Yeah, carry on.
I, India.
Mm-hmm.
F, Frederick.
Yes.
I, India.
Yes.
C, Charlie. I, India, O, Oboe, Edificio, it means building or block of flats.
Yep.
Vista, as is used in English, a vista, a view, V-I-S-T-A.
Yep.
Next word, Ifach, I for India, F for Freddy,
yep.
A, Apple, C, Charlie, H, Haddy, Ifach.
Is that all part of the first line, isn't it?
That's right, that's all part of the first line. Edificio, Vista, Ifach, that's the name of the block of flats. And the number is 4D for dog, which means it's on the fourth floor.
And the
street is called Calle, C Charlie, A, L Love, E Easy, that means street. Corbetta, C Charles, O Oboe, R Robber, Robert, or Robert, just as you like, B Baker, E Easy, T Thomas, A Apple, Corbetta. And that is in the town of Calpe, C-A-L-P-E.
Yep.
And that is in the province of Alicante, A-L-I, Alicante, which is in Spain. Now, she has no telephone. However, there is another elderly English lady who is a permanent resident there, whereas Mrs. Stubbs only goes to her flat occasionally. This other lady lives permanently there, and she is on the 8th floor of the same building. I don't know exactly. I telephoned with them only tonight. Right, from England you dial the following. 01-034-6-583-4352.
Right.
That is her flat. Now, the position as it stands at the moment is this, that this man has disappeared. Apparently he, ever since he arrived there some days ago, he's been in a sort of mentally deranged state. And he keeps rushing out of the building in anger, for no rational reason, storms off and disappears.
And what is this man's name?
Thank you. He is there as her guest, but has gone off the rails.
Right. Okay, Mr. Seddon, if you leave it with me, I'll speak to my inspector and we'll see about getting a message sent.
Now, it is very urgent, please, PC Joyce, that this be done tonight, and I'll tell you why. He has disappeared again this evening. We don't know where. He's likely to reappear, as he has done on several previous occasions, probably in the middle of the night, probably with only half-clad, which is what he's done before, and he will then beseech Mrs. Stubbs through the intercom to let him into the building. And my fear is that if once he's in, and she will let him in, because she's too kind-hearted to do otherwise, he may then fulfil what he tried to do earlier, throw her over the balcony.
Fine, the sooner I can contact Interpol and see about getting something done, yes?
That would be kind. Could you very kindly, to reassure me, ring me back and let me know what's happening?
We will do that.
That's very sweet of you. Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Yes, hello, Notting Hill, please. Captain Seddon?
Indeed, yes.
Hello there. Right, we've sent a message to Interpol.
That's most kind.
I've spoken to my inspector.
Thank you.
Now, what he suggests, unfortunately, the system of sending messages to Interpol is somewhat convoluted, and it may not be until the morning before any action gets taken.
My fear is that in that case, the thing has little point. You see, he is due to be returning by aeroplane to Britain tomorrow, and that brings me to yet two other points. Mrs. Stubbs said to me on the telephone earlier this evening that he has got... I said to her, I beg of you, do not let him to come into your flat while you're on your own, because you may be thrown over the balcony. And she said, he has got to come into my flat, because he has to collect his clothing and his baggage. Now, as I see it, the correct solution to this is for the clothing and the baggage to be sent to the police station and for him to be sent to collect it from there and not to enter her flat at all. Do you agree?
As I was trying to say to you initially, sir, is that because this system is so slow, it might be better if you also phoned Mrs. Phillips, who also is in the same building, and asked her perhaps to contact the local police. This is the advice given to me by my inspector.
That, I think, is very good advice, but for one thing. We're dealing with two ladies, both of whom are suffering from a tremendous degree of inertia and are not willing to do anything about it. I've already spoken to them and begged them to do it. And the answer I got from Mrs. Stubbs, yes, 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 I will go in the morning. And then I said, well, why don't you go now, for goodness sake, because this terrible thing may happen during the night. No, no, she said, it's too late, I'm going in the morning, and do you not realise that none of the Spanish police speak any English at all?
Well, that's not strictly correct.
That's what she says.
Well, I think, I know for a fact that's not correct. Then perhaps if they're not willing to phone, perhaps if you were to phone the local station and speak to somebody there also, as I say...
I'm perfectly willing to do so, but am I likely to get anywhere if they don't speak any English?
I'm sure you'll find an English-speaking officer. The only reason some officers choose to conceal the fact that they speak English is because if they reveal that, they get sent to the resorts where the louts go to.
Poor chaps, I don't blame them for not revealing it.
That's a fact, but a lot of them in fact do speak English, but prefer not to show out, as it were.
Yes, I see. So, well, I'll have a go. I mean, do you have their number?
Unfortunately not to hand, but International Director Inquiries, I'm sure, would be very helpful. We've always found them very useful for that.
Well, I'll have a go. Now, there is another aspect to all this. He's due to be coming back tomorrow in an aeroplane. You will surely agree with me that, in fairness, A, to the airline company, B, to the staff on the aeroplane, the air crew, and C, above all, to the many passengers in the aeroplane, it is only fair that the aeroplane should be forewarned of his coming, so that whatever precautions are needed to protect everybody, in case anything goes wrong on the flight, can be taken before he gets there.
Do we know which flight he's on?
Sadly, I have no idea what flight or airline or time or anything. All I know is that he'll be leaving from Alicante tomorrow and flying back almost certainly, I would imagine, to Gatwick or most improbably to Heathrow.
Well, I think, bearing in mind we've got no proven allegations against this gentleman, I think we'd be taking on an awful big task for something that we've not even received a complaint at this stage.
That's right, that's right. It's a very difficult situation. I appreciate it. But what can one do?
Well, I think first and foremost, we've sent a message to Interpol, and perhaps if you get the opportunity to speak to the local police, check first of all on Mrs. Stubbs' welfare, which is our foremost consideration.
That is paramount. Well, I'll have a go, but from what I'm told, A, they don't speak English, which I can quite believe, in spite of what you've told me, and B, I'm also told that they're extremely lackadaisical. They're quite unlike you people. They say mañana, mañana.
I see. Well, as I say, we have sent a message, but unfortunately, the system working the way it does, I can't guarantee that they're going to get it in the very near future.
Well, I do see that, and I'm grateful to you for telling me. Roughly how long do you think it'll be before they do get it?
Unfortunately, it's out of my hands. It's sent in a telex message to the yard, and then the yard have to get someone to translate that and telex it on to the local station. And I don't know how long they take to do that sort of work.
It may really be days before it gets there.
I wouldn't think days, but it's certainly going to be a matter of hours at the bare minimum.
Yes, of course. Well, thank you for the very good advice. I will now try and telephone the Calpe police.
OK, then, sir.
Thanks awfully. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Buonasera. Es la polizia di Calpe? Es la polizia di Calpe?
Sì, sì.
Buonasera. Sono inglese, parlo di Inghilterra, da Londra. Posso parlare con qualcuno che parla inglese, oppure aleman, oppure francese, oppure inglese?
I speak English a little.
Well, that's wonderful. My name is Captain Seddon, Capitano Seddon, S like Sorrento. Do you speak Italian?
No.
No. S for sugar, E for easy, D for dog, D for dog, O for orange, N for nobody. Have you understood that?
A little, because I speak English very little.
Yes. Possibile che lei comprende italiano?
Sì, intendelo, in italiano se può entendere.
Va bene. Posso sapere il suo nome, per favore?
Mi nome?
Sì.
Io solo le posso dare il numero di agente.
Va bene.
Sì.
Numero di agente?
Numero 320, dígame.
Numero 20?
320.
320. Per favor, c'è un problema urgente. A Calpe, in Calle Corbetta, edificio Vista IFAC,
sì.
Numero 4D, D come Domorossola.
4I.
4D, D come Domenica. Come Domingo.
Entiendo.
Ecco. C'è una signora d'origine aleman, ma di nazionalità britannica, inglese.
Sì.
Chi si chiama Anna?
Sì.
Maria?
Sì.
Josefa?
Sì.
Stubbs. S come Sevilla.
Sì.
T come Tommaso.
Sì.
U come Ulrich, come Udine.
Sì.
B come Berta.
Sì.
B come Berta.
Sì.
S come Siviglia.
Sì.
Questa signora ha 80 anni. 800, how do you say it? 80, 80.
Sì.
Anni. È anziana, antica.
Sì, sì, sì.
E questa signora è in pericolo di morte. Perché ha nell'appartamento un ospite inglese,
sì,
di età 43 anni,
uh-huh,
43 anni,
sì,
che si chiama John, allora Giovanni. Stasera. e in condizione rabbiata, furiosa,
sì.
Senza qualsiasi ragione logico, era impazzito, andato fuori e sparito, nessuno sa dove è andato.
Sì.
Durante la notte è probabile che lui ritornerà. E suonerà probabilmente al campanello sotto, perché ha perso i suoi chiavi. E essendo impazzito, ha perso anche i suoi scarpe e sue camicie. È tornato l'altra notte, la mattina, con soltanto pantalone. Nessun camicie, nessun giacca, nessun scarpe. Tutto perso. Soltanto pantalone. E se lui tornerà durante questa notte, lui suonerà. E come la signora Stubbs è una persona molto per bene, molto molto generoso, molto molto gentile, lui, lei admetterà lui nella casa, capisce?
Sì.
E allora nel momento che lui si trova con lei, solo nell'appartamento, c'è il nuovo pericolo che lui butterà la signora fuori del balcone, quattro piani sotto, e sarà morto sulla strada.
Mm-hmm.
Capisce quello che vuol dire?
Sì.
E queste signore non sono andate alla polizia come devono, probabilmente perché sono in vergogna. Della, come si dice, non vogliono la scomodità d'andare alla polizia, credo.
Sì.
E anche è il fatto che signora Stubbs mi diceva stasera al telefono, diceva così, sai, la polizia qui non parlano un parole di inglese, non è possibile di comunicare con loro.
Mm-hmm.
Capisce? E io sarò molto grato se lei avrà la gentilezza, non domani, però stanotte, subito, adesso, stanotte, se lei andrà a signora Stubbs per spiegare che assolutamente non deve admettere, non deve lasciare entrare questo Townley nell'appartamento. E lui domani deve prendere aereo in ogni modo per tornare in Inghilterra. Capisce? Lui deve venire in aereo domani. Già questo è sistemato. Però signora Stubbs diceva che lui deve rientrare per forza nell'appartamento per prendere i suoi vestimenti e bagagli. Ma io vi prego urgentemente di prendere tutti i suoi bagagli nella stazione di polizia, e che lui deve andare alla stazione di polizia per prendere i bagagli. Così si evita la necessità che lui entra nell'appartamento. Capisce quello?
Sì, un momentito, eh?
Sì?
Che devo attendere una cosa, non se vaya,
eh? E come?
Con il telefono. Sí.
Sí.
Oiga, mire, hágame el favor, ¿me puede dar su nombre? Me la ha dado, pero la dirección, ¿usted dónde vive?
Mi nombre.
Sí.
Sí. Mi nombre es Capitano, Captain.
Capitano, sí.
Maurizio, en inglés se dice Morris.
Sí.
Significa Maurizio. Sedon, S como Sorrento.
Sí.
I como Emilio.
Sí.
D como Domodossola. D come Domodossola.
Sì.
O Orvieto.
Sì.
N Napoli, Sedon.
Vale.
Il numero del telefono in Inghilterra 753.
Sì.
54.
Sì.
22.
Sì.
42.
Sì.
E l'indirizzo?
Sì.
L'indirizzo. 138 138,
sì.
Horton, H come hotel.
Uh-huh.
O Orvieto. R Roberto.
Sì.
T Tommaso.
Sì.
O Orvieto.
Sì.
N Napoli.
Sì.
Road significa calle. R O A D.
Sì.
In Datchet. Datchet. D Domodossola. A Antonio. A photocopied permit which bears the registration of the second vehicle and they see it on the other vehicle, does that not prove the point? You see, look, put it this way. Until the day before that, or 2 days before, whenever the thing seized up, it was the other machine that was in use.
Yeah.
And that carries the permit with the number of the say of that self-same machine.
The original permit.
No, in fact, they're again not the original permit, and I'll tell you exactly why not. I am very, very careful that I do not have valuable documents either stolen or lost. I'm half German, and perhaps not for nothing, you know. One is thorough. We call it Deutsche Gründlichkeit. And therefore, to make sure that it does not get lost, I keep the original most carefully in the file with the correspondence relating to the permit. And I have a photocopy also on that one. But on that one, clearly it is to be seen that the number of the permit is the same as the machine.
Yes, sir. Do you realise that displaying a photocopy is also illegal?
Oh, well, again, we come up against all sorts of amazing things that I didn't know. I mean, I would have thought a copy, you can easily authenticate it. If, for example, anyone wants to check whether the thing is genuine, they have only to contact the council who issued it, the Chelsea and Kensington or whatever, and find out, does this machine, has it been issued with a permit? Yes, it has.
Right, but it should be displayed on the vehicle, sir, not a photocopy. Do you also display a photocopy of your road fund licence?
Yes, I do, for exactly the same reason. In fact, I have two photocopies of the licence, one on each of the rear-view mirrors, again for thoroughness, in case a vandal rips one off.
But you are breaking the law, sir.
Well, thank you for telling me. But there we are. I mean, one doesn't know these things. I think you will agree the principle is sound. If you lose original documents, it can be quite a serious and inconvenient and perhaps expensive matter.
Well, it's illegal, sir.
Well, I take your word for it. I'm sorry to hear it, but I can only assure you that it is done with the very best intentions.
Well, yeah, I'm afraid it's illegal, sir, and also so is parking on the footpath.
Yes, all right. Well, I don't question that at all, but, Mr. Crook, that machine, it is the fact that that machine has been parked there for years, and it has been parked there often for 2 days and two nights in succession.
Right, you've been very, very lucky, sir.
And it is a machine which I promise you is irreplaceable.
Well, I've got one that's irreplaceable, sir.
Good for you. What have you got?
I've got a Brough Superior.
Oh, how wonderful.
Right?
Absolutely gorgeous. What year is it?
Never use it on the road, sir. It's too valuable. I put it in I've got it in a garage.
Well, there's the problem with these beautiful things. What year is she?
Eh?
What year is she?
1935.
Oh, how lovely. How absolutely gorgeous.
And it's worth thousands of pounds, sir.
I believe you.
Offered £7,500 for it.
And I believe you. The only thing I've got, which is a very much humbler thing, which doesn't come anywhere near yours, I've got a 1928 557cc BSA side valve with a little cooling tower above the exhaust valve.
Yes, brilliant.
You know them?
It's a nice bike, sir.
It's a lovely thing, but your brough is absolute heaven.
But you should not park it on a footpath, sir.
Well, look, here is the problem. What am I going to do? I have tried in the past occasionally parking it in the road. And what happens? You see, let me say that there was a parking bay for solo motorbikes at the north end of Norland Square until about 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And then the council, in their wisdom, did away with it.
That's right.
Which is terrible. It's an absolute disaster. Now, that meant that from then on, you could only put the motorbike in between parked cars. Now, when I have done that in the past, on various occasions, the machine has been knocked over by shunting cars and damaged in ways that often can't be made good.
Well, yeah, I mean, you shouldn't really park it between parked cars, should you, sir?
Well, then where am I going to park it?
On a meter, on a residence bay, on a motorcycle bay, you can park it free, sir. If you park it properly at the end, I mean, if I use mine on the road on the rare occasions, I've got a centre stand, and I always use it on that. That way it doesn't get knocked over.
Well, unfortunately, my centre stand is rather worn, and therefore I only use it when it's absolutely necessary, for instance, for work on the bike. But there is another point. It's a very heavy bike. It's fitted with a top box and two panniers, and they're all constantly full.
And it's very heavy, but that's beside the point, sir. What you cannot do is park it on the footpath. If you've been doing that, you have been very, very lucky. What I'm trying to say to you, sir, is that it is illegal to park the bike on the footpath.
Well, I don't question it at all. But what I do say is this. You see, I don't know how this is in English law, but I do know how it's in German law. In German law, there's a thing called Gewohnheitsrecht, which translates, I suppose, as the right that is acquired by habit over years.
No, you don't have that right when you're breaking the law, sir.
Well, I am very surprised at that. I don't know. You must know. You're the expert. The fact remains that the parking wardens have been kind, considerate enough not to ticket it over the years, and they've had thousands of opportunities to do it, and therefore suddenly to do this is extremely inconsistent.
Well, no, sir. It's not.
But it is.
We haven't been covering that area for a long, long time.
I'm sorry?
We haven't been covering that area with enforcement for a long, long time.
Tell me, is it true that that particular place is on the border between two districts?
It is, sir.
And which district are you?
We are Kensington, Chelsea. You're in North Kensington. We haven't been covering North Kensington for a long time. We have begun to cover that at the request of Notting Hill Police Station, and therefore you are liable to get tickets if you park up there.
May I ask, where are you located? Where is your office?
Ours is on Kensington High Street, sir.
Oh, you're 78 Kensington High Street.
If I can just tell you that as from next year, local authority parking attendants will be taking over most of the duties that traffic wardens currently do. And I can assure you, they will not let you get away with it.
I'm sorry, who will be taking it over?
Local authorities. The local councils will be employing their own parking attendants. They will not let you get away with it, sir.
Well, now, you said righto, and when does that happen?
Well, that's from the end of this year.
Well, I'm in trouble, and more trouble. But now, coming back to what you said just now, you said a motorcycle bay. But the whole point is, do you see, that there is not a motorcycle bay there. And therefore, the only place you can park the motorcycle is amongst the cars in the residence, what do you call them, car bay.
You can't park that particular vehicle in a residence bay, sir. You don't have a permit for it.
Right. Well, let us consider the point number one is that I've obviously got to get a permit for the other one, which I was not aware of, but if that is the case, I will have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
That is the first point. Now, let us go to the one which at the moment is seized up and can't move, but has got the permit. Now, where can I park that?
You can park that in a residence bay or in a motorcycle bay.
Well, there isn't a motorcycle bay. So that means that I've got to take up an entire motorcar's bay for a motorbike.
You're paying a residence permit, sir. You have every right to.
Oh, I see. Even though it's only a motorbike?
Even though it's only a motorcycle.
Oh, I just remembered something. In the paperwork they sent me with that permit, they illustrated how the machine had to be parked, and that was at right angles to the curb.
That's right, sir.
That automatically means that it's not going to take up a whole bay, and it also means that it's very liable to be pushed over sideways, either by a forward or backwards shunting car ahead or behind it.
If I was you, I would try and park it at the head of a bay, where the vehicle could get in and out. And if you park it, I know it says at a right angles to the curb, But if you park it at something like 60 degrees, you'll have a better chance because the cars can then move around the side of it.
Yes, I see. So are you saying that I put it at the centre of a car's bay at 60 degrees?
Something like that, yeah. Give yourself a bit of room, sir.
And if it gets knocked over, which it's likely to?
I'm afraid, you know, I mean, that's between you and the other motorist.
But surely there must be some way of getting back to the harmony that we've had for years between the traffic wardens and myself, whereby they do not harass it and persecute it, but just leave it in peace on that particular piece of pavement where it has been. It's always in one particular place, directly in front of number 13, Norland Square, up against the railings.
OK, sir. Can I ask you a simple question?
Do
you know anybody who is blind?
No.
No. Well, could you imagine if a blind person was walking along there, sir?
Well, don't they normally have a stick with them?
Yes, but they could still walk into that bike. You're obstructing the footpath, aren't you, by parking the bike on the footpath?
Very slightly, because the footpath is very, very much wider than the bike at that point.
Still obstructing the footpath?
In very small degree.
Yeah, but it is an obstruction, sir. You see what I'm trying to get at?
Well, I still think that it's rather... What is the word? I've forgotten what the expression is.
Pavements are made for people. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yes, yes, I do agree. But on the other hand, bicycles and motorcycles are quite common left on pavements, and they normally, provided the pavement is good and wide, they don't normally cause any inconvenience.
They shouldn't be parked on the pavement, sir. The pavement is for people, not for vehicles. How do you get it onto the pavement?
I push it up onto the, I stop it, and then I let it go forward at half walking speed and roll the wheels up onto the pavement.
Well, you do realise that under the 1974 Greater London Council Act, yes, it is illegal to push or move a motor vehicle across the footpath.
Well, I didn't know this, no.
It is, you know, I mean, and the point is that you park it on a footpath, you are committing, excuse me, an offence, yeah?
Well, I don't dispute the question of the offence at all. Technically, I'm sure you're absolutely right. You're the expert, I'm a complete layman, I don't know these things. All I'm saying to you is that I do think it's a case of somebody, for some strange reason, making a mountain out of a molehill and being very, very inconsistent, doing something which... I mean, if it was generally considered by the traffic wardens that there was something wrong about this, it surely stands to reason that on any one of countless occasions in past years, a ticket would have been on it.
As I said, sir, we have only recently began to cover that area. We did not have the staff, right? Because of the recession, we are now fairly fully staffed, and we were not covering that particular area because of the lack of staff. Now we are covering it, you are liable to get tickets on more regularly.
I see. Well, I can only tell you, to my certain knowledge, that parking wardens have been active in that area and have indeed ticketed and clamped motor cars regularly over those years. And they have never done anything to my motorbike. So I'm sorry, but I maintain it as an inconsistency.
Oh, well, in that case, sir, all I shall do is I shall have to instruct my wardens to deal with every vehicle that's parked on the footpath.
Dear, oh dear, oh dear. What problems you make for me, really. Now, here is the nub of the matter. I look after an elderly 80-year-old lady who is very frail and at this moment is in hospital and is due to come out, we hope, today. We're not absolutely sure that it'll be today. And she needs my constant help and attention. And if I am persecuted, and I say again persecuted, and harassed in this way, it will have the outcome, as I see it, that I won't be able to go and look after her because I'm terrified of leaving the thing in the roadway where I have never dared to leave it before. I think it's so sad. I mean, it may be necessary to write to the Commissioner of the Metropolitan Police and to the Member of Parliament and to the Minister of Transport and to whoever, I don't know. And you see, let me explain why this thing is so unique and so precious to me. Believe me, that motorcycle has been seen on television all over the world. And if you watch your television screen on the 18th of August coming, on Carlton Television, on Jonathan Ross, on a programme called Fantastic Facts, unless they alter the timing of the programme, which they may do, at the moment it is due to be shown yet again. It was all filmed back in November. It was on Jonathan Ross amongst countless others years ago, and it goes on again. And the thing has been on so many television programmes associated with my invention of heated clothing that it is terribly precious to me. I think you'll understand that under those circumstances, however old and however battered and dirty the dear old thing may be, it is nevertheless a thing which is well worth cherishing and loving, just as you cherish and love your beauty.
That's why I won't use it on the road, sir, for normal road work.
Well, I'm too poor to be able to afford any other vehicle. So I use it, and there we are.
I'm only a traffic warden manager, sir, and I'm certain that I don't earn that much money. I mean, I've built this one up over the years, and that's why I won't use it on the road. I mean, if it's that precious to you, sir, surely you wouldn't take the chance of driving it on the road.
Well, perhaps you're wise and I'm foolish.
Tourist.
You're probably wise and I'm foolish. There we are. Can't be helped. Well, now, so you say one has to leave it in the road in the middle of a bay at 60 degrees. God help us.
Legally.
Sorry?
You have to park it legally. If you haven't got a permit for it, it has to be in a motorcycle bay or on a meter paid. If you have got a permit for it, then you can park it in a residence bay. That is all I can tell you, sir. Anywhere else, it is illegally parked.
Could we go back to that other thing? If it hasn't got a permit, what then again?
If you've got a permit, you can only park it on a meter bay and pay it. And you can take up the whole car, whole car's length, if you pay the meter bay. Yeah?
Yes, you see, unfortunately, it has to be there for such very long periods that, I mean, a meter payment fees would be bankrupting. It's quite out of the question.
Then you have to park it in a motorcycle bay. Now, there must be other motorcycle bays in the area.
The only one that I have seen, it must be something of the order of a quarter of a mile away.
Mm-hmm.
It's outside one of those pizza shops, and it is constantly heavily loaded with the motorcycles and mopeds used for the delivery of the pizzas.
Well,
and therefore it's most unlikely that there's any space for any other motorbike.
You have the right to park there, sir. You do realise that motorcycles are the only vehicles that get free parking in central London?
I think that's very reasonable that they should, because it encourages people to do what they should be doing, which is using motorcycles more and cars less.
That's right, but they should be parked in the free motorcycle bays and not the footpath.
Right. Well, now, supposing I take the blessed thing quarter of a mile up to this nearest bay, which is the nearest one I've seen. It's off the Holland Park Avenue. I don't know the road name. It's well up the hill on the left. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I know what you mean.
Now, supposing I take it there, and the entire bay is full, what then?
Then you have to find another bay, sir. And I do know that there is one in Holland Park Avenue.
In Holland Park Avenue itself?
Yes.
Could you tell me where?
I'm not sure where it is, but it's towards that end. There's also one, I believe, in Royal Crescent.
Oh, is there? I didn't know that.
Not very far.
Not terribly far. That might be nearer.
The Boxmoor Estate, which isn't very far.
Where is the Boxmoor Estate?
Just up from Royal Crescent. I can't remember the name of the road it's on. It's a big block. It's big blocks of flats, council flats. There is another big one up there, which is just up the road from Royal Crescent.
Oh, that must be that road that goes towards, oh dear, I don't know what you call it, very near to the motorway.
That's right, yes, sir.
Boxmoor.
Yeah.
Ah. Right. Well, now, what can be done, please, about this parking ticket? Because I can very, very ill afford it. I have very little money. I'm only a humble boffin. I have terribly little money and very, very small income, and I'm an old-age pensioner of 66.
You have the right to write in, obviously. As you spoke to our AO, she's going to do a report and send it off to there. But, unfortunately, the ticket is perfectly legal.
I don't question that.
Legally parked. What will happen is that Central Ticket Office will consider what you've said on the report, and if you want to write in about it, you'll be all right. They will make the decision as to whether you pay it.
I see. Can I do anything by telephoning them?
No, you can't telephone them. You have to write, sir. You have to write to them. If you write to them, it will not go to court and become £45 if you write to them explaining the situation until they've sorted it out, because if it's not paid within 28 days, that's what normally happens.
Yes, I see. And is there nothing you could kindly do to cancel it?
Absolutely nothing, sir. It's perfectly legally issued.
Well,
I'm sorry. That's the situation.
Well, I think it's terribly sad and terribly inconsistent.
Documents on your vehicles.
Sorry?
I'd get the right copies, the right original documents of your documents on the vehicles.
the most immediate thing, by the look of it, from what you've told me, is that I must get a separate parking permit for the second motorbike for the eventuality of these... For instance, I'm compelled to use it at the moment because the other's broken down.
Absolutely, sir.
So I'll have to do that. Now, tell me, can one get those permits over the counter, as it were, or can one only do them through the post?
I understand you can get them over the counter if you go to the town hall, but you must be paying the council tax or the poll tax in the borough.
Well, I am... There is a special... I have a special entitlement, which was arranged some years ago, due to the special circumstances, to have these permits.
Right. Well, in that case, then, sir, you should be able to go down and get it over the borough, over the counter, if you fill in all the necessary documents, etc.
Yes, I see. All right. Well, thank you very much. Good luck with your beautiful brush.
Yes, and good luck with yours, sir.
Thank you very much. Look after it.
Yes. Bye.
Bye-bye.
071.
Sorry?
071.
Yes.
230.
Yes.
1212.
Again, the last.
1212.
1212. 071-230-1212.
That's right.
Thank you.
Thank you,
bye-bye. Connect me, please, to the Traffic Warden's Ticket Office next to the Marylebone Magistrate Court. The Traffic Warden's Ticket Office, which is apparently next building to the Marylebone Magistrates Court. Or can you give me the number?
Right, one moment, please.
Thank you.
071.
071.
402.
402.
1096.
1096. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Please speak to the... do you have a manager or a superintendent?
What's it refer to?
It refers to, it's a complaint about a parking ticket which was awarded to an ancient historic motorcycle in Norland Square, West 11, yesterday.
You would have to write to the Metropolitan Police to issue the tickets. We're a payments office here.
You're a payments office?
Yeah.
Well, I was told by the Inspector of Police in Ladbroke Grove Station that if I went to see your office, I might be able to arrange with whoever is in charge for the ticket to be cancelled or stopped.
Write to the Metropolitan Police. They don't take phone calls or you can't see them. They're a correspondence office.
And is there no one can speak to?
No, only about the payment. We're a payments office here.
Your payments only?
Yeah.
I see. Well, this other office, could you tell me where it is and its telephone number?
No, I was just explaining it to you. They don't take callers and you can't ring them. You can only write to them. They are a correspondence office.
Oh. And there's nobody one can speak to?
No, you can only write to that office. They're a correspondence office.
I see. And you're only concerned with payment. You can't arrange, you can't deal with the cancellation of a ticket.
That.
Well, I wasn't quite clear what it was all about.
Oh.
Honestly. All right, thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
The office. Your call is held in a queue and an officer will answer your inquiry as soon as possible. This office deals only with the payment of traffic tickets and the endorsement of driving licenses. If your inquiry is not about payment or endorsement, you should write to the Metropolitan Police Central Ticket Office at P.O. Box 510, London, Southwest 1, V2JP.
I wonder if you could be kind enough to give me the telephone number of the Metropolitan Police Central Ticket Office.
Yes, hold on a moment.
Thank you.
Thank you.
081. 302.
6316.
6316. And where is it actually located?
Well, all I've got is a P.O. box address for them.
Oh, I see.
Do you want that address?
Yeah, that would be useful.
Yeah, P.O. box 510.
Yes.
Southwest 1.
Yes.
2JP for Peter.
2JP for Peter.
That's right.
And so there's nothing between the Southwest 1 and the 2?
No.
Because I've got it on that same address, but I've got a letter B in between B for Baker, between Southwest 1 and 2. But that's wrong, is it?
I haven't got that.
Oh, okay, I'll delete it. Thank you very much.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Fixed penalties are payable to the Court Service Fixed Penalty Office. If you have a payment inquiry, you should telephone 071 402-1096. We regret we cannot deal with individual traffic ticket cases on the telephone. However, we'd be pleased to help you if you write to us. This will enable us to deal with the matter much more effectively. Your letter should be addressed to the Central Ticket Office, P.O. Box 510, London SW1V 2JP, and should indicate the vehicle registration, the fixed penalty number, and the date when the ticket was issued. We will give your letter our earliest attention. If you have surrendered your driving licence and require its urgent return, please telephone 071 230 1095 between 9:30 and 4 p.m. Staff on this number are only able to deal with inquiries about driving licences. This is the Central Ticket Office of the Metropolitan Police. Fixed penalties are payable to the court service.
Is that Miss Gardner?
Miss Gardner's on leave till next Thursday.
Oh, I see. My name is Captain Seddon, S-E-D-O-N. May I know who I'm speaking to?
You're speaking to Mrs. Cassar.
Could you kindly spell it?
C-A-S-S-A-R.
Mrs. Cassar. I wonder, can you help me, Mrs. Cassar? I have rather an urgent problem. I have a parking permit for a motorbike, which expires the 2nd 94, but the motorbike in question has had a very severe breakdown and has got So, das ist wahrscheinlich die Telepathie. Ich hatte den Gefühl, es ist ein Bedarf, dass ich versuche, dir zu ermuntern. Das tut mir aber leid. Ich wollte unter anderem bestätigen, dass das Duplikatband am 23. abgeschickt worden ist.
Dankeschön. Ich rufe dich an, so wie es eingegangen ist, gell?
Ja.
Gut, alles klar, Moritz.
Aber kann ich dir nicht irgendwie aus deinen Trauer herausbringen?
Nein, nein, das sind immer mal so Phasen. Da fällt mir dann ein tiefes Loch und da muss man fertig werden. Und
wenn du möchtest mir, nur wenn du das möchtest, wenn du möchtest mir zurückrufen, wir können ein bisschen zusammensprechen und vielleicht hilft es.
Ja, gut, Moritz.
Hilfst du?
Dankeschön, ich weiß noch nicht. Dankeschön.
Tu das doch, das wird doch helfen.
Ja, danke.
Ruf zurück.
Ja.
Liebe Gruß, tschüss.
Nun ja, man soll eben keine Tagebücher lesen, nicht wahr? Ich habe, als das mit Winnie da anfing voriges Jahr, da habe ich so Tagebuch geführt. Und das habe ich jetzt mal alles wieder gelesen und da kam mir das irgendwie unheimlich schwer war, das zu lesen.
Oh, du Arme, das tut mir leid.
Soll man eben nicht machen, weißt du. Und zwar kam ich deshalb drauf, weil ich heute zwei ganz tragische Fälle erlebt habe, wo junge Menschen Krebs bekamen.
Oh Gott.
Und die eine Frau, die fragte mich, was der Willi für einen Krebsform hatte. Und da habe ich eben nochmal das alles hervorgesucht, die Krankenberichte und alles, um ihr das morgen zu erzählen. Und sie hatte einen Fall in ihrer Familie von einer 32-jährigen Frau mit Lungenfieber.
Oh Gott.
Was für ein Krebs ist es? Und es gibt ja vier Arten von Krebsen. Das ist das Plattenepithel. Das ist ein Krebs, der ist eigentlich am besten heilbar. Er gilt als bösartig, aber er ist am besten heilbar. Und dann gibt es den großzelligen Krebs, der wächst sehr langsam und gibt auch langsam Metastasen ab. Und dann gibt es den kleinzelligen Krebs und der ist wahnsinnig aggressiv. Da sind die Menschen also binnen 3 Monaten tot. Und die Frau fragte mich heute, was der Winnie für einen Krebs gehabt hätte. Und da habe ich das eben nochmal alles so nachgelesen. Der Winnie hatte einen großzelligen Krebs.
Das ist der langsam wachsende?
Ja.
Aha.
Ja, ja. Aber er hat schließlich doch zum Tode geführt.
Ja, natürlich.
Und morgen wird sie mich nun fragen, und wird mir erzählen, was diese junge Frau da für einen Krebs hat. Also das ist so furchtbar. Immer jüngere Menschen, finde ich, verfällt diese schreckliche Krankheit.
This is Resonance. 104.4 FM.
This program has been brought to you by Resonance 104.4 FM. If you liked what you heard and want to support our work, please make a donation at fundraiser.resonance.fm.